The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I feel like that's probably not the best way to handle a meeting with your boss. I'm just saying that's...
I don't think he handled it the best way, but I understand his hesitation.
Well, I guess the way the whole thing rolls out, I'm just saying in hindsight. I mean, we'll see how it all shakes out in the next couple of weeks or so. But so yesterday, let me back up and say there is a weekly super secret radio management.
It's not a super secret radio.
It was positioned to me like it was double secret probation stuff.
It's in a glass room. It's not.
Right, it's the cone of silence, right? I mean, it's...
No. You can hear everything. And you can see it all, too.
So it's
an operations meeting.
People, employees scattered all across the nation for this radio, television, and broadcast and .com network. Whatever it is we are. We have people all across the country, and the boss of radio lives and works in Michigan.
That's his title, too.
The boss of radio. I don't know, what is he, CEO of radio, president of radio?
I think he's general manager
of BRN. There's
president somewhere in his title.
You can bet there's a vice president in his title. If there's not, he's getting hosed. There's a whole lot of vice presidents around here I was like, wait a minute, that dude's a vice president?
Yeah.
We got a problem.
There's a deputy in there somewhere, deputy vice president of general managing.
So the guy who runs radio works in Michigan, and we got people all over the country. And every week, the management team, which is, by the way, like radio. 90% of the people that work in radio.
Yeah, because there's only like four of us.
It's like everybody but me and Chris and Mike Opalka and Chris Salcedo. I mean, that's the only four. We've got interns who are part of this call. But
well, somebody has to take notes.
Right, so it's this weekly operations call. Is that what it is?
Yes. All radio right. Ops.
So like a couple of weeks ago, Chris and I are riding down the road with Cal, and we're in the car, and he's like, oh, hang on a second. I got to get on this this operations call. Now, he could have just thrown it on mute. Most of it, he's just listening. But instead, he doesn't even hold it to his ear. He puts his little headphones in and plugs in so Chris and I cannot hear what's on the call.
It wasn't so you couldn't hear. It was just easy.
We're in the car,
and I'm going to put it like on speakerphone.
Why wouldn't you put it on speakerphone?
Because it's just you can't hear too there, well.
Right. And other times, if we're in the room and he has it on speakerphone, you see him on speakerphone it and put it to his ear. It's like,
that's not true.
There's this attitude.
It was like one time.
When you walk in the room and people are like, so anyways, Doc was... Hey, sandwiches! Hey. I like egg salad.
Reubens are good.
Reubens. Is a hot dog? Right, I mean, this is the attitude. So that's how he positioned it. And Chris and I the whole time are like, you can put that on speakerphone. No, it's okay. So we've been giving him the business that this is like a super secret call, right?
Yeah.
So
there are certain things that, our grand poobah says, this doesn't leave the call.
Aha! Right?
It's just the things that are operational.
Wasn't he just protesting that it wasn't a secret?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like the way you're making it out to be. Right. It's like, don't tell Doc and Chris what's going on.
Has he ever said, don't tell Doc?
I cannot.
Son of a mother puss bucket.
There's the answer.
Right, finish my sentence?
Okay, what is it? Okay.
I cannot recall was said.
Nice. All right. Which I don't blame him for not telling me stuff, because cat, out of the bag. But regardless. So that's how this thing is rolled out. So Monday, this guy who runs radio in Michigan, we'll call him...
Grand Poobah?
Dom, because his name is Dom. And he goes, we're talking, and he goes, hey, can you join us on the call on Thursday? Because you got this big thing coming up, we want to talk about all the logistics of it and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And then he told you the same thing, apparently.
No, Sarah told me, my boss, told me to join yesterday.
Like, okay. So, right. So it was a temporary thing. So we get on the call. I do my little business and up front so I can get off the rest of the call.
Yeah, because
I got crap to do. And
meanwhile, side note, I'm in here with him when we're both on the same call on our own phones. This guy, every 3 seconds, like, I don't think you paid attention to have the call.
I can multitask.
Every 5 seconds, did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you see this guy? Do you think that girl's hot? Is she hot? I think she's hot. Are you hungry? I'm hungry. You want to get something? Bell, ring. Squirrel.
Brad knows what you're talking about because I do the same thing in meetings. That's the reason I stand in the back. And Brad appreciates that.
I'm trying to pay attention. And I'm like, okay, they're talking. We've got to pay attention here.
So I hit mute, and I'm like, oh, come on. That's bull crap. Right? I mean, whatever.
Do you hit mute? Because I hit people with don't mute. Don't mute on the phone. Do you mute? Because I mute. During this whole call, I was taking a leak. I was in the bathroom peeing while I was on the call. You know, nobody even noticed. Right, that's pretty great. Yeah, mute things. Awesome.
I can multitask, right? So anyway, so we're in the call. So I bail then and go do the rest of the stuff. Throughout the rest of the call, Chris is stuck there on the call. And then I didn't realize it, but what happened at the end of the call?
At the end of the call, Dom.
We'll call him Dom.
We'll call him Dom. He asked me, well, hey, Chris, you're more than welcome to join us at this weekly phone call meeting.
Join us every week.
Every week.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I forgot who I was talking to. And I was like, well.
It was like he was. You know, he had to look good in front of the boss and say, like, oh, that's the sure, but he didn't really want to.
And the boss is like, sure.
So he's like, hey, you know, you can join us every week on these calls. You should probably jump in.
Oh, thank you.
His voice got really high.
Oh, thank you.
We call weekly phone call meetings conference calls in America.
This is response to being invited to the super secret meeting.
I think I'm good.
I said that 10 times. I think I'm good.
Thank you, but I'm okay.
Did he keep saying, no, I mean, seriously, if you want to
go. Yeah, no, he kept bringing that up. And I was like, no, seriously, you're more than welcome to come since you're taking a bigger part role in the radio operations. No, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
No, seriously. If you could join us every Thursday.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
No, I mean, if you want to join us so you know what's going on.
Yeah, I understand that.
Hang on. The building's on fire. I got to go put the fire out. I'll call you later. Bye.
This is what happened in the conversation. It got to the point where I was like, you know what, Dom? Next conference call, I will give you those updates you wanted me to give you, and I will join the phone call just to give you those updates and to see what the other boss said about what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. He was like, okay. So I had to make something.
But you're only one. You're only on the hook for one.
For one more, yeah. I'm on the hook for one more.
So
no, you're not, my friend.
I'm not sure.
Not if I'm involved. I've got something to say.
That wouldn't be the career advice I would give you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I forgot who I was talking to. I honestly forgot who I was talking to. Well, you were at the beginning of the phone call. Then Kyle interrupted with something. And then I started talking. And the whole conversation, it felt like I was just talking to Doc and Kyle. Like, well.
And that's Chris's thing. I'll be like, hey, Chris, can you do... I don't know.
I'm going to do it, but there's going to be some bitchiness, you know, at the beginning.
No, you were bitching about being on the super secret call.
No,
you wanted to be on the super secret call.
And there's the next angle. Here's the next thing.
From now on, I'm going to be like, is Chris here? We need to get Chris. Chris isn't on the call today.
Here's the next thing. So, number one, Chris weaseled out of the call, which is important.
Wow, that's surprising.
Number two, there's nothing important on the call. Cal's just playing it. You know, guys got to stand.
Here's the thing.
Management here. I got the thing.
Here's the thing. I got dumped halfway through the call. So there was more talking after I hung up.
Yeah.
So there was a
wait a minute, you got dumped?
There was a secret.
After his part was done, he's like, okay, great. All right, thanks. Bye, guys. Because he was in really rushed to get off. He was like, okay, great. Thanks, bye, guys.
I thought we were done. We weren't done. Sorry.
So
then there was stuff that happened afterwards, which I'm not at liberty to talk about.
See?
Super secret.
Okay. So you're back to that then.
So
he just went from, guys, it's not super secret, to whatever. You can really see and then whatever. Sorry, kid. So serious. What was talked about?
I'm not at liberty
to
say.
You can tell us the topics.
You were both on the call and you both decided to leave early. So you could have stayed.
I was told to leave early.
You were not told to leave early. Okay, guys, I got to go now. Squirrel, bye.
So what was talked about?
I really am not liberty. There was
said I could have stayed. I bailed. You can just give us the topics.
Programming information,
radio.
Such as
possible talent talk of certain things.
Wow!
Thank you, Captain Big. About acquiring new talent?
I was told to just, you know, these things.
To changes? The changes on the air?
About alternate personnel in positions that are currently held by others.
Is somebody going to get fired?
Somebody getting fired?
Yeah.
Somebody getting fired?
I'm not at liberty to talk about the logistics of operational material that happened at the Blaze Radio Network.
You are working on your contract.
I am. I'm working on my contract.
There are people who are coming up for renewal that maybe, you know.
They may be allowed to pursue other opportunities.
Perhaps.
I was told there'd be no math.
I was told we wouldn't talk. I was told these things would just work themselves out. That's what they It'll work itself out.
We talked to HR.
And then I said, so should I go tell this person? No, it'll just work itself out.
Were the words, we wish him the best in his future endeavors mentioned anywhere?
I think Endeavor was in there somewhere.
Is all these donuts going to help me? Right?
In the future. And
no.
Yeah. Wow. So so a lot was accomplished on the conference.
Oh, no,
so.
Not at all. No.
Because I was going to say, for my little piece, it was pretty much everything I sent in the memo the day before.
Yeah, that happened. That's sure.
Did you send that email?
Well, it's funny because Chris's whole part about like, and then at the end, it's just like, well, there's really nothing we can do about it. Then I guess there's no solution to the problem.
There was a solution to the issue.
Okay, yeah, there was, but we need to spend money.
And yeah, we have to spend money. That
and then it was like, okay, well, we're not going to do that point. Then. So
Dom is a very lonely man. That's what I mean.
You know, Dom's wife listens to the program.
She's a very lonely woman. They're she both does? Very lonely.
Our boss is a great, great man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, brown noser.
I don't like the tone that we're taking right now, and I want to just be on record.
Wise beyond belief,
my friends. Wise beyond belief.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Do you guys see the NRA Dana Lash video?
Yes.
You see him?
Maybe.
You didn't see it. Chris, you see him? So Dana Lash did a commercial for the NRA. She works for the NRA.
Yeah, she's the NRA.
She's a radio spots.
Yeah, she's a Second Amendment supporter.
Spokesperson.
What? Wait, what?
Whoa!
No.
News to me.
No, the reason
is that why she wrote a book about Hands Off My Gun?
Yeah. Seems pretty simple, right?
Is that why they always have her on as a pro-gun person on every news network?
A real gun.
But somehow, all of a sudden, there's a lot of people that are like, Dana Lash supports the NRA and guns.
No.
That's the
go figure.
I don't know why this commercial caused so much trouble.
Because she's calling for hate. And to kill people.
No, she wasn't. Oh. She was pointed that things are going the wrong direction. She didn't say grab a gun and shoot people. Nothing, not even heading that direction. But somehow people are really upset and they are now protesting her today.
Today.
And,
is it a virtual protest or an actual protest?
This is going to be in Fairfax, Virginia, near the headquarters of the NRA.
If we start driving now, we can get there.
But Dana is in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And you protest her in Virginia?
Uh-huh. That's right. In front of the NRA.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. So, Tamika Mallory, the co-founder of the Women's March, Inc.
Oh, now they're incorporated?
They're incorporated. They've incorporated. They've got
tax benefits.
Don't the people on the left often protest against
evil corporations?
Corporations, that's right. But now they've incorporated women. You're feminist, saying women are being kept down by corporations out there, treating women unfairly. That's the reason we need a statue of a little girl in front of a bull, which, by the way, is bull. And that you've decided to incorporate women. Good. Nicely done.
Is the CEO a man?
Tamika Mallory. Yeah, it's funny.
It ought to be.
She's the co-founder, but the CEO is a man, yeah. Well, if you want to get things done in the corporation, you know, you want to see it grow.
Otherwise, it'll just kind of keep going in circles.
Yeah, it goes real well every three weeks or so, and then you have some trouble. Anyways, so they have this nationwide protest, they say, but it's going to be centered in Fairfax outside the NRA's headquarters because of the NRA being there. But I don't know how these are going to pop up locally. Dana's here in Texas, so I don't know if we're going to get any out here of our studios.
Oh, that'd be great. I hope we get some protesters outside.
But I don't know if they're smart enough to realize this because Dana, we carry her television show here
yes.
at theblaze.com, Blaze TV. But she has a radio show that is not carried on the Blaze Radio Network. That's completely separate, but it's on a handful of radio stations. Yeah. Those stations are different places, like St. Louis.
Yeah.
Are they going to go to those radio stations for the purpose of protesting that station? Or are they going to come to the physical location that Dane is at here? Is she going to go to various radio stations? We know they're going to be the NRA. What is your point? What's your point? Or is it to get as much tension as possible to
But here's the thing. It's like, I'm going to protest her because she's doing her job.
I know. What's, yeah.
Like,
seems
honestly,
a little silly.
I call it free publicity.
You're right. Maybe that's it.
Well, here's the weird thing. The Women's March, you know what their unity principles are? Women's March Incorporated.
Inc.
Environmental justice, immigrant rights, disability rights, civil rights, workers' rights, reproductive rights, ending violence, and LGBTQIA.
That
rights.
Sounds more like that should be Progressives, Inc.
Huh. That's weird.
Huh. Wow. Progressive Women's March, Inc. Something like that.
Is there anything in there that has anything to do with women?
Reproductive?
Yeah, how about give me the, was there anything reproductive?
One of the reproductive
Well, that's not
rights.
Exclusively women, though.
Right. Now, because transgender, talking about wombs.
The wombs,
right. The wombs go from the woman to the man.
That's not exclusively
the womb
women.
Transplants.
And even if you were talking about right to abortion or whatever, that's still not exclusively woman.
Huh. So there's nothing really on there that's...
No, not at all. The Women's March...
The Women's March, Inc.
Here's the ironic thing. They're not going to be marching.
So what
Only every once in a while. So the Women's March, Inc.
Mm-hmm. doesn't march.
It's not about women, and it's not really a march.
It should be called Vagina Hats LLC.
Hold on. We do not accept any federal, state, or local rollbacks, cuts, or restrictions on our ability to access quality reproductive health care services, birth control, HIV, AIDS care and prevention, or medically accurate sexuality education.
For women with penises.
Right.
What is medically accurate sexuality education?
I have no idea.
Medically accurate
sexuality education.
So sexuality education, not sexual, sexuality.
Right? Sexuality, yeah.
Okay. Medically accurate. What does that mean?
Is that a transgender thing? Is that what that is?
Yeah. First of all.
Yeah. Okay. So wait a minute. It's a transgender thing, but if you're saying medically accurate, what do they think I'm saying about it? That you can't be a man or a woman, if whatever?
Yeah.
Guess what? Medically accurate, if you really want to go...
Medically technically.
Accurate. Guess what? You're never the other gender.
Yeah.
Because your little DNA molecules still have you as being the gender in which you were born.
But, Doc, I feel like a girl today.
No, guess what? Medically, and even if you get the snip job, doesn't matter. Medically, physically, you look like the other gender. Medically, technically, you are still...
There's something wrong in there.
Can they not take blood from a person to determine if it was a male or female?
Yeah.
So if you are transgender, if you go from male to female, when they take your blood, you're going to come up as a man.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Oh, wait. Libertarian just got tweet of the day. Why aren't gender activists offended by the gender-specific term Women's March?
Oh!
Wow. Well, Tamika Mallory, who is marching today, says the co-founder there, not the CEO or president, who's likely a man. You are responsible for an organization, speaking of the NRA, that claims to be the oldest civil rights organization in America. However, recent actions by the NRA demonstrate not only a complete disregard for the lives of black and brown people in America, your fellow citizens, but appear to be a direct endorsement of violence against these citizens exercising their constitutional right to protest. I didn't know that that's what the NRA was doing. I mean, I missed the part in the ad where they're like, hey, brown and black people, we have no regard for your lives. We know you're our fellow citizens. We don't care about you. I missed that part.
Right.
It seems interesting.
Hey, but they do believe in civil rights.
They do?
Yeah. Civil rights are our birthright. Including voting rights, freedom to worship without fear of intimidation or harassment, freedom of speech, protection for all citizens regardless of race, gender, age, or disability. And it's time for an all-inclusive equal rights amendment. They've
gone on board with that. See, they believe in civil rights. That's a cornerstone of what they believe.
Yep.
Unless you want to own a gun.
Ta-da!
Unless you do own a gun. Unless you're a talk show host that supports the Second Amendment.
And you're just...
Then your rights don't. They're not a birthright, by the way, right. Then it's just hating on brown and black people. Interesting. By the way, Dana's going to make money off this.
Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Cal79, at Real Chris Cruz, and at the Blaze Brad. A bunch of people were sharing some of Dana's tweets, and even she has a special little profile
for
Twitter.
Yeah, she has. If you go to her website, you could download the icons and put them all in support of her.
What I love about this is she's gone full bore because she's doing a special Facebook for 3 hours.
Facebook Live.
And she's gotten sponsors for it. So she and her various outlets, people who carry your show stuff, are just making money off of these knuckleheads. So she took something where they're protesting. Fine, you're going to protest me and try to gin people up maybe to make money yourselves. Fine. We're going to make some money off it too. Good for her. Nice job. All right, get the tweets in.
Kathy and the Bird tweeted, "We have become a country with so many rights that we are wrong on many levels."
Ooh.
One more time?
"We have become a country with so many rights that we are wrong on many levels."
Wow. She's right.
You got Johnny Mac tweeting out, "If I had a dime every time I heard Chris Cruz say, 'But Doc, I feel like a girl today.'" What?
I think today you said, "What if I feel like a girl?"
Yeah.
Something like that. What if I say that?
What if I say that?
By the way, Chris Cruz and I were triggering people in the makeup room the other day.
Oh, my God.
There's a room full of... You gotta love... This is awesome. So the topic came up of one of Chris's friends who is transgender, okay? And we've said...
The one that I support financially.
Right, who is a very pretty man, right? And this is the big thing we've joked about and whatever.
Sugar
so,
daddy for
so
him, her.
We're talking about it in the makeup room, and there's like three or four women in there. Mm-hmm. And they're getting... They're like, wait, what? 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 Because we had talked about it on the air last week. And so Chris is like, "Here, look at the pictures." And we've all said, he's very pretty. He'll make a good woman when it goes through.
I've never said that.
You said he was pretty.
I never said that.
Kyle, we got you on camera saying he's very pretty.
Yo, show me the camera. I said that this guy
upstairs,
the
production
meeting.
Obviously
a guy.
Oh, no, but listen, you've said he is a pretty man.
I've never said that.
We have you on tape. Okay, fine.
Okay, pull the tape.
Regardless,
I want to see this tape.
Regardless, most of us have said that. And we're not saying we're take him home. We're not gay, whatever. We're just saying if he's transitioned to a woman, he'll make a pretty woman. Some people do not look good as the other gender, right?
It still looks like a man to me.
Regardless, a lot of guys that transition look pretty, tall and bulky, whatever. He's a small dude, whatever. So Chris and I are talking to the women in there and starts triggering them. And they're like, "Wait, what? So they're like, "Chris, you would date this... a transgender if they switched over and whatever?" And Chris is like, "Sure." I'm like, "Yeah, sure."
I didn't even let the sentence finish.
Right. They're like, wait, what? So they start going, and they're like, let me see a picture.
This is the two ladies in there, right?
Well, those two, and there was a couple others. Like Sarah Gonzalez was one.
But they were all women, right? The point.
So they're in there, and they're, let me see pictures. And they pull up the pictures, and I'm like, "Pretty man to make a good-looking woman." A couple of other guys are standing around. I think Brad popped in at one time, and the women are there. And all the women are like, "That's a boy. He looks like a boy. He just doesn't look like a woman," right? Getting all triggered. And I was like, "Sounds to me like there's some jealous women in here."
Uh-huh.
Some women that are a little upset that he looks like a better woman than they do, or makes a better woman than they do.
More feminine than they
do. Oh, my golly. Sarah Gonzalez gave me the, what? Look, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is gold. This is gold, Jerry. This is gold."
Not just that, we acquire another gentleman. I think his name is Nick.
Yeah.
Nick Pitts.
And
he's on Think Tank.
Yeah, he does not know anything about this conversation. Fresh new eyes.
Walks in, right
walks
in the middle
in,
of it.
I was like,
"What do you think?
What do you think?" He goes,
"Wow.
Wow." And that's all we needed.
That's it. And they're like, no, that's not what he meant by it. It was so funny. And Chris and I are just pushing the buttons, or whatever. And then I walked out and said, "My work here is done." They were so triggered.
You shook the hive.
It is funny. It's like throwing a grenade into a room.
It is. It's so funny. Especially, I love Sarah Gonzalez. She is so funny with this stuff, too. And she knows I just keep pushing her buttons. By the way, notice when we're on Think Tank together, because she's in some days, I'm in some days, we're there together. When they do the wide shots, sometimes you could see me messing with her, where I'll say stuff to her. I'll be like, what the hell did that mean? Or something she just said, and she's like, shut up, Doc.
She gets it. She gets it.
It really, the think tank at times is like study hall or being in school or whatever, because I'm like, Sarah.
Passing notes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Doc loves to pass notes.
Actually, I got to start slipping her notes during the show. I got to do more of that. Because sometimes I'll hold up little notes that the camera can't see.
Yes, no, maybe.
The one day I go, Sarah, we go to a break and I go, we're coming back and I go, that made no sense whatsoever. I go, you are so full of crap.
So you're tearing her down from the inside.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Just giving her the business. Sarah knows. That's our relationship. Let's see here. I saw a story, and I thought it's something that I really should present to Cal.
Oh.
Little information that you probably need.
I can't wait to hear this.
I mean, tell me struggles you have in your life right now.
Money.
Things that come, okay, money. Anything specific about like things that cause you not to have as much money as you would like to have?
Children.
Okay, anything else?
Wife.
So those are your primary focuses, because I think you left something out here.
What cost me money? Oh, debt?
No. I mean things that are problems in your life.
Other than money?
Mm-hmm.
And
no sleep?
There is a new procedure. It's been around for a couple of years, but it's really just catching on. A lot of people have never even heard of this. And it's designed to help people who are thinning up top.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I'm interested.
Right. And I think this is...
The male pattern baldness.
Yes. So, right? I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
It would be very nice.
Okay. It's called a scalp tattoo. It's called...
What? That's not a solution.
Yes, it is.
Tattoo my head?
It's called scalp micropigmentation.
Listen, I've got a little bit left and it's going very quickly. I do not need to tattoo my head.
No, it does. It looks like hair.
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
No, it looks like a tattoo on your head.
It's designed to look like hair stubble.
No.
It's called scalp micropigmentation. That sounds good. Sounds legit. You'll look like you have hair.
No. How is that going to... It just looks like... I've seen guys with tattoos on their head. It does not look like hair.
No, this is not some Mike Tyson getting a face tattoo or anybody
head
with...
tattoo.
Somebody that says, you know, death on their skull. It's not that. It looks like... Can you look up scalp micropigmentation and see if you can get a picture of it there, Brad.
It
look like you've got stubble. So it looks like you've shaved, you know, not bicking your head, because that would look like, you know, just skin. You wouldn't need it then. But it looks like stubble, so you don't have to go.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, no, that works. That's good.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That looks awesome.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Yes.
That looks like the guy we had on that toured the world.
No, that looks...
Doesn't that look like him?
Leon Legothetis. Legothetis. Legothetis.
Thetis. See, Cal, I think that's legit, man.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
See?
I do.
Yeah.
That and you don't have upkeep.
Stupid, no.
That looks...
What are you talking about? This is your solution, man.
It's still bald.
It's like the
That's
perfect
not a solution.
Haircut.
You're still bald.
That's like the perfect haircut.
What? So it's like, I'm really excited to have some stubble on my head. What's the point?
No, that looks good. Because then you grow out the face to look like the head.
Yeah.
See, that's there it no, is. That's
legit.
Very, yes.
That's yep.
That's right. Very Miami haircut like.
See, they put...
I live in Dallas, Texas. This is not Miami.
Oh, you accepted Dallas now?
I look like an idiot.
He said, the doctor said, the way it works is you get about 10,000 tiny dots on your head.
Oh, that sounds real pleasant.
Give or take.
Mm-hmm. He said, you got those little dots. And before you poo-poo this, maybe you should check with your wife, because that's what matters anyways.
She says that...
Oh, that looks good.
Look at that.
That's real
hair. I'll tweet out a link to it.
Yeah.
That's... Wow.
Right.
My wife says that she loves me no matter how I look.
She's lying.
She's completely lying.
Obviously,
to you.
But I'm trying, you know, I'm in denial.
No. But ask her about this. See if she'd be down with this. I think she'd be good with it. And by the way, the doctor says about 10% of his clients are women.
Oh, what? What?
Okay. Chris Cruz suddenly went, whoa, this is... Stop this. Knock it off. So 10%.
I thought it was 10% like, don't like it. I was like, okay, that's a good stat.
You know what?
Thanks for saying a woman.
I think he misspoke. I think he misunderstood. I think maybe he should have said something different. He said, 10% of my clients are lesbians. That's probably what he should have.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
What a great product. Great product that has helped so many people. It's nice when you have a product or a service that you really believe in, and I'm sure the people at Relief Factor feel this way each and every day. They have helped tens of thousands of people alleviate some of the pain in their body with Relief Factor. See, it was designed to be an anti-inflammatory. And as you probably understand, inflammation is what causes a lot of pain in the body. And we've had tens of thousands of people say to us, hey, this has helped me get rid of pain. Sure, there's a handful of people who it doesn't work for, and you'll get that type of thing, and that's fine. But overwhelmingly, it has helped those people. It helped people here in the studio, many people in the audience deal with their pain. If you have pain, whether it's reoccurring pain from running or exercising or certain things you do at work, or maybe pain that has lasted you a longer period of time for some other reason, try Relief Factor. Bottom line, it works for most people. And
or if you've been in pain for so long, just trying the same thing over and over, popping the pills.
It's not working.
Try something different.
Right. Or if it is working, is it working the best? Is this the best you can get?
Or is it just a numbing?
Right. Is it just masking it right now? All you have to do is call Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Or go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com. You can try it for just $19.95. What a deal. 3-week quick start pack, which should be plenty to get you on your way to getting rid of some of that pain at 800-500-8384, just $19.95. Or go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Tweets coming in now. Got Benson Rice tweeting, old picture of Doc's procedure, meaning the hair plugs. And he tweeted a picture of Tobias Fünke, lead actor. No, really. Not reality. Tobias Fünke from Arrested Development, which is hilarious. His hair plugs one, where they keep tearing him out and putting him back in, and the blood running down his head is really funny.
And he gets a disease. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to get rid of it. He's in a wheelchair.
You know, he's the first analysis our analyst and therapist, yes, to combine those two professions.
Yes.
So his business cards, he's abbreviated analyst and therapist into analrapist. So his business cards say analrapist. Right. I'm sorry, what?
Anal rapist.
Oh my gosh, what? Is that, it also looks like that?
That's crazy. Wait a minute,
his license plate also says.
UK, oh yeah.
Anal rapist.
It's so funny though, whenever he gives his business card to somebody because it looks that way, everybody just goes, ooh.
Donna tweeted, please consider some girls would agree with this and me. If scalp stubble can be seen, it must be felt.
There you go. See?
So there is that. I can see. It's like false advertising. It's like breast implants.
Haven't we learned that image is all that matters?
Yeah.
No, I mean, the TSA has taught us. It's the illusion of hair, Cal.
Yes. Right.
It's not really hair.
Speaking
it's
the illusion of TSA, Doe. How would you pronounce that?
What?
Doe. Someone's Twitter handle is Doe.
Doe.
They tweeted out, why does Brad want Cal to get even more hassled by the TSA? Shaved head, full beard from Egypt. Seriously.
It makes for good radio. Right. That's why.
All he needs is a white dress.
You know what? He might be onto something. You losing your hair like that does make you like not fit the profile quite as much. Because you just look like
shaved
pathetic.
Head? Really?
No. Just losing your hair
pathetic
like now.
Pathetic terrorist number one.
Yeah.
You can't be a terrorist. Look at that hairline.
It's pathetic.
Right. Because you don't look as young. And they see you and you're like, oh, look at this poor sap. He's losing his hair, middle age.
Well, I'll never be that guy. Gone. I'm never going to be the guy with the comb over. I mean, it's pretty thin right now.
You know, you do the Trump?
I'm almost to the point where once it's gone, I'm going to shave the head. I'm going to be just a shaved head dude.
At what point? What are you waiting for?
I'm holding on to the last strands that are.
Dude, you're that guy. You're the guy.
I'm not that guy.
Dude, you are. You should be going.
I don't have a comb over.
Dude, you should be going to shaved. Take your hat off. Show him.
I am not that guy.
It's pretty rough up on top. Look. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Dude, you got to go shorter. Yeah. You got to go
well,
shorter.
Well, I need a haircut. I always keep it short.
That little mane.
You got to show the top. See it from the top.
Look down.
Move the headphones.
I know it's bad, all right?
Move the headphones.
I don't have pictures out there.
Move the headphones.
I'm not moving the headphones.
See, he knows we're right. See, that's what it is. And there's nothing wrong with it. Look at
my insecurities.
Brad is accepted.
Brad pulls it off well.
Look how short it is.
That's usually how short I have it. I just haven't had a haircut in a while.
Here's the thing.
You're not that short normally.
Bam, bam. Thing you got going
puff,
on in the front.
Not, it's usually, well, you know, when I get my haircut, it's short.
Not that short. Not that Brad short.
It's not like a one, but
you
it's
gotta
like a
go
two
there.
Or
you're
three.
There, man. We're telling you, you're there. This is a safe zone, Cal. No, don't fight us.
If this is anything, safe zone. This room is never safe.
Oh my, this hurt. That
wow.
hurts.
This is never this safe.
Is, we're
this
here for you,
safe.
Buddy.
This is never
like,
safe.
This is like the only safe zone in the room. I mean, in the whole building.
That's right.
No, it's not.
I can't.
This is the only room that's safe is probably wounded. HR upstairs.
I'm wounded to hear you say that. This is, we're here for you. It's okay.
We're here to make it better.
That's
don't
right.
Lie. You don't need to lie. We know what. Just lie to my face. Just,
wow, coming at us honest. Like that. We're here to tell you what works and what doesn't work, and it's time.
This is not working.
I know it's time. I know it's
okay,
time.
Okay, you know what? He's not here all the time, so you should be able to trust him more. Not Kirk. Every other Friday, it's not Kirk. Not Kirk. Are you, it's time for Cal or no?
As much as it pains me to say it because I'm kind of going through the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, Cal. It's
Cal,
time.
Sorry, it
really
that's
is.
That's not from us, and that's not from Kirk. That's from
not
Kirk.
But I cut my hair short. Now I guess I'll cut it even shorter.
Yeah, shorter.
I keep it at about a three.
Oh, I guess no, I'll like no, no.
Two or
no,
one.
Two,
got to go with the two
and
or
half
one.
To one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just that's go to the one and get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to the one and get ahead of it.
See what you did there.
Yeah, see what I did? By the way, Jay the TMB Hoosier tweeting at Cal79, she loves you no matter what, but more if you do what she likes. And you know what she likes. You know.
Oh, I do what she likes. Don't you know what worry she likes. About that.
Clean the house, bring in more money, and grow some hair. You know what she likes.
Well, I've got two out of three down, so I'm working on that last one.
More cleaning, more hair, more money, more!
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
By the way, Cal, I got a cost for you too, Price. The hair stubble tattoo.
$2,500.
I did, but I don't think you talked about it on the air. It's $2,800.
$2,800. Oh, that's cheap.
Right, whereas hair plugs usually run you $10,000 to $15,000. Boom. There you go. It's cheaper.
Yeah, but then you actually get real hair, not a tattoo.
Yes, but again, it's much cheaper. Of course, you're not going to get real hair for $2,800.
I'd rather spend more money and get real hair.
Nah.
Do you have $10,000 to $15,000?
No, until then, I'll just wear hats.
Okay, that's fine.
It's time for lights, camera, action.
It's time for Hollywood Headlines with Doc Thompson and the Morning Blaze crew.
Lex Jorgen joining us now from whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com or WTDDY.com.
Or CaseyAnthony.com.
Or CaseyAnthony. You got a lot of the .coms, Lex.
That's great, guys. Thanks for the bumper music. I appreciate it.
Yeah. What's happening? What are we looking at today?
Happy Bastille Day, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I like to get up early and get as much Bastille Day as possible. What about you guys?
I yeah, absolutely.
At least 18 hours of Bastille Day for me.
Are you celebrating in any way in particular?
No, I'm like any American. I know exactly one holiday that takes place in other countries. I got my Cinco de Mayo from Mexico. I got my Bastille Day for France, and I don't know what the hell goes on in Canada.
You know what?
Nobody does.
Canadians. They don't know
exactly.
Either.
I'm doing what most people are doing right now. I'm looking for the dumb friend who's going to pay $100 for Mayweather-McGregor fight.
We were actually talking about it the other day.
That'd be Doc.
You gotta find that one dumb guy in your group, right? Everyone's gonna convince you. Got to be really cool and pay for it. And I'll come to your house and watch it.
Oh no, no, we don't want to watch it. We want to bet on it.
Bet money on it.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah, we just want the odds, but they've evened out a bit. It doesn't seem as exciting now.
Yes, it's more than a month ago, they've already run out of snack to talk about each other. Like your mama jokes are taking place.
Mayweather just needs jokes. A nap.
Yeah, what's funny exactly. is what is it, McGregor? He's been making fun of Mayweather all the time. He's like, F you, F this, mm-hmm. He's old, look at him, he doesn't know how to dress.
He can't afford a suit.
He's kind of right about that.
He is.
Yeah. He is kind of right about it.
Bet against the guy with bad material in boxing.
So still hard on him, Lex.
I know you guys probably track that pretty well.
I'm on pins and needles just waiting for it every year.
Yeah, the board here actually is right behind us. He's got the odds and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live got 22 Emmy nominations this year, the most ever. That's 22 nominations for the same Donald Trump skit they did 22 different times.
See what happens when Kyle no longer works for SNL?
That's right.
They get awards.
Yeah,
yeah, they won everything. As far as I can tell, they ran the same exact program every single week, and they won an award for it. Wouldn't matter what they did. I don't know if you guys saw Jim Carrey's being sued. This is kind of sad. You know, his ex-girlfriend committed suicide a couple years ago. Happy Bastille Day. But his the parents of the woman that he left are suing him. They say that he ditched their daughter, gave her three STDs, and left behind his pharmaceuticals, which is, I don't know which is more rude, but that's really rough. And I was thinking, like, three STDs to give to one woman?
That's a lot.
Is that like Christmas where you give her all three at once, or like Hanukkah where you give her a different STD sort of every night?
Spread it out over time, I think. Yes. Okay, wait. Wow. Give us this again. So he gave her three STDs.
Yes.
Left her in debt. Did you say that?
No, and, he left her, dumped her, dumped her with three STDs, and he left his pharmaceuticals behind. She was a very depressed woman.
Okay, wait a minute. And my ex's in-laws hated me?
Right.
I know. My ex-wife still hates me.
Right. Did you give her three STDs?
No.
It's two, right? I mean, yeah, just fine. Okay.
One and a half.
After two, you need to reevaluate your relationship.
Hey, come on, Lex. Who's putting those lines out there? Come on. He wanted three, the trifecta.
She was Irish, so after the first two, she went to confession. It's really sad, but they wanted him to pay for her funeral, and he refused to pay for her funeral, though he said he would publicly. And it turns out that her parents owned a funeral home they were trying to get him to write a check to.
Oh,
yeah. That's really
shady.
Wow. Yes, really, right. I know. This is the one time everyone's sort of getting behind Jim Carrey.
He used to be funny.
keeping it light here this morning, you know, Sharon Tate's sister, Quentin Tarantino is going to be doing a Manson family murder movie.
Oh, this is a fail. Fail.
Yes, right.
Fail.
Is it too soon?
Yes.
Wow. We're trying to figure out how he's going to drop 25 N-bombs in a movie about white people killing each other in the Hollywood Hills. So his sister, Sharon Tate's sister, represents the family. She says it's a disgusting, you know, a blight on the family to bring this up and how they're going to portray the murder after all these years. But she says the only way to make it better is to hire her as a paid consultant.
Well, then it makes sense how that works.
Yes. And she said her first order of business is that Jennifer Lawrence, who's supposed to play Sharon Tate, is not pretty enough to play her sister.
Wow.
I know, right? It's tough. I mean, this is the role of a pregnant woman who gets butchered to death, and she's saying Jennifer Lawrence can't pull it off.
Wow. Right, exactly. Failed.
Well, okay.
Not hot enough for the grisly murder scene.
So you have a scene which is incredibly graphic. I mean, they hacked her up and they took the baby out and the whole thing or whatever. Quentin Tarantino makes like normal scenes really graphic. What's he going to do with this? Yeah. How do you top yourself?
It's going to either take a 37-minute kill scene and make it 4.5 hours.
Right, exactly. Stretch.
Slow motion.
Stretch.
Two parts. Nobody will see it in the theaters, but it'll win a lot of awards.
And, you know, he likes to twist the ends. I mean, what was it in Inglourious Basterds? Hitler lived, right? They killed Hitler, does Sharon Tate live? Yes, sorry about that. Does Sharon Tate live?
Sharon Tate makes it out of the end?
Yeah, Sharon Tate might live. I don't know. She was the oldest person that Roman Polanski ever had sex with. After seeing that, he wanted to only have girlfriends who couldn't conceive.
Wow.
I know, that's bad. Jennifer Garner, I don't know if you saw this, Ben Affleck, it's been confirmed Ben Affleck was cheating on Jennifer Garner 2 years before they were separated with the, speaking of SNL, the SNL producer, Lindsay Shookus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jennifer Garner confronted her apparently 2 years ago in New York and said, hey, keep your hands off my gambling derelict, alcoholic,
careful there.
Husband.
I'm Batman.
Can't act. You forgot that one.
Yeah. Yes.
He's a Batman.
You think she realized, like, you could have him.
See, I think what happened between those two, you know, it's pressures of Hollywood. I think it was Daredevil Elektra. I think he was like, you were horrible in that. And she's like, me? I was bad?
I haven't seen their performance.
Right.
You can't be in that movie. James Woods, did you see that story? He's in hot water here in Hollywood.
No.
Again?
He called out a couple that are raising their son as a daughter. They have a couple of that, one of the Pride festivals is raising their 8-year-old boy as a daughter. And James Wood said, it's all fun and games till he grows up and dismembers you and puts you in the freezer.
Oh, wow. Okay, James, you need a break from the Twitter for a while, buddy. Take a break. Take a break.
He's one of the five known Republicans in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
He's 70. He's dating a 22-year-old. He's got a lot of money in the bank, so he's like grandpa saying whatever the hell he wants.
Good. That's a good place to be, though. That really is.
Yeah.
It is not bad. But Neil Patrick Harris came to the defense of the family raising the boy as a girl. It says he knows the family personally, of course. Mm-hmm. They called James Woods a monster.
Which, of course,
gave James Wood a giant erection.
And then he hit him with his purse.
Right, exactly.
I don't think he understands how internet trolls work exactly.
No, not quite. I can only imagine that Chuck Woolery is so jealous of James Woods right now. These guys, I mean.
Have you guys heard about Deflategate in the NFL?
Yeah.
Well, no, the different Deflategate, Viagra and Cialis are pulling out of the NFL advertising game. I'm going to miss those commercials because my daughter always asks me, what's the difference between Viagra and Cialis?
There it comes.
When we're watching. Yes, and I say Viagra, you get the hot girl in the jersey, and Cialis, you get the woman who looks like you're having sex with your mother. You take her out to the forest hiking. Always thinking of Cialis people. Man's always scanning the horizon, looking for his lost erections. Really sad. I'm pushing the fine line this morning.
Oh, no.
No, that moved way far, way far, way far.
Yeah, and finally, Donnie Wahlberg. I'm sure you know the Wahlberg family very well.
Sure.
Yeah. He's the one who can't sing. Mark would be the one who can't act. Donnie left a 2000. The celebrities now are leaving large tips at restaurants. They go to small diners and they leave like multi-$1,000 tips.
Wow.
In the hopes that they will be just waiting for the Facebook post where the waiter puts down their $2,000 tip on an egg sandwich. Mm-hmm. And talk about how great they are. Mm-hmm. It's a new virtue signaling, and it's cost you a lot less than it used to.
It's true.
It's like
he left the waitress at a pancake house $2,000, and then he gets to see the receipt, and they write a cute note about how amazing you are.
Yeah.
I would recommend this be a practice for you guys for breakfast.
Good idea.
Yeah.
I always leave 20%.
I don't tip.
Yeah, listen, I'm willing for somebody to leave me a couple $1,000 tip. I'm willing. Uh-huh. That'd be a good place for. Oh, you mean us leave the tip?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not good.
It's backwards.
Well, happy Bastille Day, guys. That's it from Hollywood.
All right, Lex Jurgen, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us today.
Guys.
All right, it's CaseyAnthony.com. That's the new website.
CaseyAnthony.com. Hot woman's in trouble.
They'd get in trouble.
And let me tell you some of those stories. Wow.
Oh yeah, they're pretty true.
They're crazy. Wow.
No, we mentioned James Woods and Chuck Woolery. These guys, you know, it's so frustrating because I agree with a lot of their ideas and stuff. Yeah,
they're always very outspoken.
But and that's good. I'm glad they're outspoken. They're just so over the top with the stuff. It's like, guys, pull it back a couple of notches
wrong?
There.
Huh? Is he wrong?
To tweet it out?
No, is he wrong with the comment
that the kid's gonna kill his parents? I think it might be a little extreme.
I don't know if he's going to. I wouldn't be shocked if it happens. I mean,
you're giving the Cal conference call answer.
I don't know, something like that. All right, let me get a quick break in. Back with more of the Morning Blaze.
Speak your mind. 888-900-3393. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network. The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today. Frank at PA. Hair plugs, 10,000. Tattoo, 2,800. Sharpie marker, $1.99.
Makes a whole lot of sense.
Are you ready for the Sharpie?
No.
I mean, there's a little more upkeep there.
You've seen the hair in a can, they spray that, and then like you sweat and it leaks down your head?
That was Ronco.
They used to do that to me on DIY. They would spray the back of my head.
Oh, that wasn't the hair in a can. That was pretty much just lacquer.
Yeah.
It was just true.
All right, come on, I'm ready.
You ready? Sharpie, let's do it up. We'll see.
No, not
World of Spots tweeting hashtag what I learned today, that Mayweather-McGregor fight is $100 on pay-per-view. I'm sure at Doc Thompson Show is working on a scheme to see it for free.
We already did.
Are we in? Did you get some?
We're in.
When you say at Doc Thompson Show, it's really at Real Chris Cruz.
We're in. So special programming note, August 18, I think it is. Then we have the cousin of the McGregor.
Oh, we already worked it?
Yeah.
You have his cousin?
I think so. I think it's his cousin.
He has somebody that's claiming to be his cousin, but as long as we get the fight for free, I don't care if he really is his cousin or not.
We're going to get streamed.
See, Chris has become my pinch weasel.
What's a pinch weasel?
Yeah, what is it?
I don't always have time to weasel.
Pinch weasel.
He's your, your pinch, okay.
Right, I go to him.
Weasel.
I mean, I'm
pinch.
Always weaseling around here.
You're
I don't
weasel.
Always have the time. I'm weaseling, I'm scheming, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, I don't have time for this. I'm like, Chris, and he's like, no worry, I'll start weaseling.
Uh-huh.
So you call in a pinch hitter, he's my pinch weasel.
Hmm. You get paid extra for that?
Oh, no. Of course. Come on, you're making the fight. You're getting stuff.
Yeah, I'm getting stuff.
Yeah, I don't leave him out.
So I sent him a picture of the cousin that's going to join us. You know what he says? He's like, you're not doing it for that. You're doing it for something else. You got.
Oh, that's right. She's hot. That's what. It's
wow,
not a male that's cousin.
A shocker.
That's right. It's not a male cousin.
That was an accidental.
She's a female.
I forgot about this. Yeah.
Not only she's a female.
Hot.
She's actually a hot female. And a real female, not identified as a female.
Right.
Because, you know, when he says female, I'm kind of...
I know,
female.
Yeah.
No,
I
it's,
it always.
Just, yeah,
it's
I know.
It's legit. Well, the verdict's still out, but we're guessing she's a woman. She looks like a woman.
I am so uncomfortable right now with everybody in here.
I know.
It's
so,
just ignore them.
So, so Chris texts
now,
me.
Now it's you that's making
goes,
me uncomfortable.
Oh.
He goes, I got McGregor's cousin. So
how did you come across Conor McGregor's cousin?
Don't worry about it.
No, I need to know.
No.
How did you come
it's
across Conor McGregor's cousin?
It'll be on the next conference call.
That's right.
Called stalking.
He goes like this. He goes, yeah, I got McGregor's cousin, so we'll likely be able to watch the fight and, for free or whatever. And I was like, great. And he sends me a screen grab of the text exchange, like, hey, this is what it is. And I looked at the little profile, and I was like, you're not doing it for the fight. I know what you're up to. She's hot.
She's not just hot. She's hot.
She promised that you can watch the fight at what? At her house?
No, she's going to try to hook us up with a free access.
Just don't worry about
pay-per-view?
It. Don't worry about it. Why are you so worried about it?
Because I'd like to know. I want to figure out how you're going to.
Does she know about Riley?
Do we have to tell about Riley?
Other tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today.
Lori D tweeted, Doc just doesn't want to be the only guy in the room with plugs. Run away from the needle, Cal. Run away. See, she's talking sense. Someone's talking sense, thankfully.
All right, and what's with the picture you tweeted out yesterday?
Yeah. Very homophobic picture that you tweeted out of me and Doc.
What did I say anything about? You're the one. All I said was, this is your post-show.
It's me with it's a picture of me with my arms around Chris in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then Matthew, Glenn's chef, looking at what? Say what? You guys see it right here, right? Here's what's going on there. We were recreating the scene from Ghost.
And it's
the
not
pottery
gay because
scene.
We're not making eye contact.
That's right. No eye contact. It's not
gay.
Not gay.
Yeah.
Fleeting eye contact. There's no sustained eye contact. Yeah. So it's fine.
I just said but this is your post-show ritual.
No. We were in the kitchen and we were talking about the scene from Ghost where they do the little clay pot and they're making the pot.
Which is, by the way, not hot.
Not hot
and
at
it's
all.
It's the stupidest thing seeing. Oh, let me touch
my
you.
My love.
I'm going to make this beautiful pot. Yeah.
What's the song?
I don't know.
Unchained Melody?
Unchained Melody.
That's it. Yep.
Or after hearing it 1,000 times,
Women
Unchained
find that romantic.
Melody.
It's romantic.
Yeah, Sarah
if
liked
they
that
do,
it's not hot.
I'm sorry. They need to find something else that is romantic.
Right, so we were recreating it in the kitchen, and instead of making a pot, he was making toast.
And you were...
Right,
we're so hot that moment, that toast just
toasted it for itself right there. Wow. Look at that. See? It's very...
It's held the bread in your hand.
Yeah, right. What's your excuse for every other day that you guys do that?
That's
that
just show
just
prep.
The one day.
Show prep. We were practicing.
Uh-huh.
Practicing for that picture, whatever. So appreciate you tweeting that out. All right. So, Bastille Day, President Trump in France.
Oh, yeah.
Some meetings with Macron. Did they go to their Blue Lobster dinner yet?
Probably.
At the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
So, wall-to-wall coverage by CNN.
Handshake cover.
Handshake, what's
Who
the...
Who ended up the handshake?
Oh, was the handshake okay, wasn't it?
Wasn't
long enough.
Yeah.
And then he made an inappropriate comment about his wife because he said she's in good shape.
He said he's in good shape.
Okay,
and,
this is
we
breaking
can't say
news.
That. We can't say that.
That's treasonous, I'm sure, somehow.
Oh,
we
got
to impeach him by CNN.
Yep.
But Fox News had an interesting take on it. So they're covering it, and Fox News pauses while they play the French national anthem, right?
CNN.
Or was that CNN?
CNN.
Oh, that CNN, was CNN as well?
CNN.
CNN said, let's take a pause and take a listen to
Okay, here they go. There's the clip where they pause for them to listen to the French national anthem.
In the most from their relationship. And before you answer that, let's just listen into the French national anthem for just a moment.
51st state.
Did we acquire France when we went?
I think we did. I think we did. It was
that is the U.S. national anthem.
Part of the Versailles Treaty. Yeah, that's what it was. Treaty of Versailles.
Is that why President's over there to make sure their finances are
that's right. on the We've books. Invaded France.
All it took was Trump.
Look, he's growing the country.
Only Nixon could go to China.
It's going to be a wall around France.
Yeah.
Separating them.
I came back from France. We now own it. It's tremendous. It's amazing. I'm the greatest president of all time.
Did they catch it? Did they know?
They catch it at the end. Like, okay. Oh, wait, that's the American anthem.
It took them till the end to realize
They're
it,
like,
though.
Wow. I really know I've this
song. I've heard that before.
I know the words to this.
I've gone to baseball games, and they pull you
Is this like My Country Tis of Thee that's actually the
They put the French national anthem at baseball games here?
They do all the time. So exactly. Wow, what a fail there. You couldn't hear a little bit of it?
Well, the thing about it is, like, it's CNN, so that makes it even look even worse than they look
it
now.
It just goes to prove they don't pay attention.
They don't.
At all.
Oh, breaking news. CNN just broke away from Trump coverage to cover the health care plan.
Oh, good. And back to Trump. Yeah. Wait a minute. It's so bad. CNN is so bad about paying attention. Cal called him out.
Yeah.
I know.
I never pay attention. I don't pay attention at all. Hey.
That's French.
Wow. All right. Get your tweets in the hashtag What I Learned Today, please. If you would, follow me. It's at Doc Thompson Show. Follow Cal at Cal79. Follow Chris Cruz at Real Chris Cruz. And it's at The Blaze Brad for Brad Staggs. Coming up next, your Friday leftovers on The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on The Blaze Radio Network. With Doc Thompson.
I've been shirking my duties because I forgot to tell you about Alexa Pure. Alexa Pure, it is a filtration system that has really helped a bunch of us here, and certainly me, because for some reason, this is the dustiest place on earth. I don't mean Dallas, I mean our studio. Mm-hmm. It's like we're growing dust, like we're investing in it or something.
It's old.
And it is that all it is?
Yes.
Okay. Because I've been to other old places.
It happens to people too.
Oh, that is really bad. And what's done is triggered my allergies. So I was sick over and over again until my buddy Brad said, hey, you got to try this Alexa Pure filtration system, and it's worked great. It helps people deal with asthma, allergies, COPD, especially this time of the year because there's more pollutants in the air during the summertime. My friends at Alexa Pure have developed it. It's called Alexa Pure Breeze. The Breeze uses an innovative four-stage filtration process, including an advanced true HEPA filter system that removes up to 99.97% of airborne contaminants. It works, and it works great. If you want to pick one up, 888-895-7746. It's 888-895-7746 or getalexapure.com. That's getalexapure.com.
And now, Doc Thompson presents the Friday Leftovers.
These are the great stories we didn't get to earlier in the week, so we will get to them now. Cops say 48-year-old Reginald Lied entered the Time Saver convenience store on West Brevard in Tallahassee, demanded free beer, and threatened the clerk with a 2-foot sword. Officers who were
patrolling. Tallahassee, that's
Florida. Oh, okay, that would be Florida. Florida. It's actually the capital of Florida. Oh, okay, so, good. Yeah.
Weird.
I know. It's weird that it would start Florida. Off with something like that. Officers who were patrolling the area heard someone screaming for help coming from the Time Saver convenience store on West Brevard in Tallahassee. When they arrived, they saw Lied screaming for help and leaving the business. That's because when he pulled the sword, the clerk pulled a broom handle and forced him to leave the store. See, I feel like that's a bit of a fail there.
Yeah, I thought it was something else.
I mean, a gun.
So a guy with a sword got beat with a guy with a broom.
Yes, right. That's a fail.
Did he hold the sword from the wrong end?
I don't know. That's what. Like, my hands. Yeah, I think you're doing it wrong there. Yeah. You should be winning that battle.
Uh-huh.
He was charged with robbery and a weapon, which brings us to pro criminal tip number 3612. Never take a sword to a broom handle fight. It's going to be a fail there.
Give him credit for creativity. Most guys just going with a gun. He went in there with a sword. Next time he'll wear like a helmet, a whole full armor getup.
I told you the story of my buddy who years ago was held at gunpoint in his business, East Cleveland.
No.
And afterwards, the cop comes and he goes, so what, do we get on to the police station, look at mug shots? The cop goes, we don't do that. That's in movies. He goes, well, how are you going to catch him? The cop goes, we're not going to catch him. He goes, well, what do I do? He goes, buy a gun.
Yeah.
The cop tells him, he's like, what are you, an idiot? Buy a gun for your place. He didn't say buy a broom handle. I think that was a little fail on his part. Around 10 p.m., Sarasota police officers.
Once again,
that's Florida. That's Florida.
Okay. Weird.
Around 10 p.m., Sarasota police officers responded to 29th Street and Goodridge Avenue to investigate a 911 call of shots being fired. Now, when they got there, they didn't see anyone firing shots, but they did see a car driving in reverse. Driving in reverse.
Well, it's Florida.
For an extended period of time. So they stopped the car and they asked the driver, 26-year-old Summer Lemieux, why she was driving in reverse, and she responded, what? What? That's how she responded. What? Her reply may have had something to do with the open bag of marijuana on the dashboard.
Wow.
Or perhaps it had something to do with the cocaine
that
they found in the car. Maybe the prescription pills.
Wow.
Or the hash they found. Perhaps it had something to do with the THC oil that they found in her car. Or the scale, pipe, and other drug paraphernalia. Possibly. What?
She did
what?
So much drugs she didn't even realize she was going backwards.
I'm in reverse? What? Couple of drugs in her car. A little bit of drugs. She has been charged with multiple felonies, including possession of marijuana within 1,000 feet of a church, possession of cocaine within 1,000 feet of a church, possession of pills at 1,000 feet of a church.
Is the offense worse if you're close to a church?
I was going to say, that doesn't seem to make sense because she's getting closer to a church.
Was she getting closer?
Or was she?
She was driving in reverse. Mm-hmm. I think there's your loophole. That's how you argue it in court.
Your Honor, my client was clearly driving away from the church.
See, she was driving in reverse. She was. Intent is part of the law.
Right.
So she's charged with all of those possession paraphernalia, and they still gave her the traffic citation for driving in reverse, which is the cop. Okay, now you're just being a douche. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's the cop. You're really just like, and up. Don't forget this one. See you in court there, sweetheart. There you go.
Plus your left tire's low.
Corpus Christi, Texas. Actually, I got another first out of Florida. Florida deputies pulled over a 30-year-old Summer Adamson. That's two Summers back to back, and both Florida. Summer Adamson, after someone reported that they broke the car windows out, and they get there and they find a syringe and heroin found next to her in the car. So they arrested her. Now, when they got her to jail, they began a more thorough search. You know, they pat you down before they put you in, and as they started the search, she flipped out. Immediately pulled a baggie of meth from her buttocks and began to eat it.
Oh!
Go to jail for meth possession. Eat something that's been in your ass. I think she made a bad choice there. I think you got to do time. Cal, what's your choice here?
I'm doing time.
Brad?
Yeah.
Time. You're doing time. Yeah. Good men.
And it's not like, okay, they saw it at the... Does that mean they can't charge her for it? It's still...
Well, they got it. They still charge her with possession and also smuggling contraband into jail.
Exactly.
Which is in charge.
Eating it is not going to...
Of course, they also got her with tampering with evidence.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They say it's meth, but I wonder if they actually tested it. I wonder if it was really crack.
I see what you did there.
Corpus Christi, Texas. A customer at an ATM heard strange noises when he was completing his transaction, coming from the ATM. Strange noises, as if it was a human voice. Then they received a note from the receipt slot that said, please help, I'm stuck in here, and implored them to call his boss.
How?
How do you get into an ATM?
How can you fit?
Instead, they called the cops, who kicked the ATM door, and it was one of those standalone ones.
All right.
It was a contractor was doing some work on it and somehow got locked inside, didn't have his cell phone with him. That's a bit of a fail.
Could you imagine the first time, though, you're getting money out? Help me.
Where's the camera?
I got to be honest. If you're a contractor, don't you mess with people now and then.
Yeah. You have to.
Help me.
Transaction denied. Please. Give me more money.
Does your wife know you're taking that money out? What are you doing with the money, Hal? Uh-huh. It's Dave. What are you doing with the money, Dave? The Pasco County Sheriff's Office, that's Florida, Pasco County, it's in Florida, responded to reports of a trespasser who was walking around with a machete at a Days Inn on U.S. Highway 19.
Before he robbed a liquor store.
Right, right. They got there. They didn't find a man with a machete, but they found a man who matched the suspect's description. So they started questioning him. It was 25-year-old Daniel Buscolo, who didn't have any visible weapons. They asked him, though, you got a machete on you? And said, all right. So he takes off his cast on his left leg, and it had a machete in it. Here's the machete. I was holding it in my cast.
Where else are you going to put it?
Right.
Where do you put your machete?
What?
I always carry mine in my cast.
I'm carrying it in my backpack like an idiot. Yeah, he carried it in his cast, and then he also admitted he also had multiple bags of meth in the cast as well, and a scale. In the
cast.
I didn't realize.
Why keep him in a car when you can keep him in your cast?
Cast right there. Yeah. Well, they're like, this.
His leg's not even broken. This is just what he does.
Right, yeah, it's a little odd. Well, he admitted that he sells drugs, and he was selling drugs to friends. That's the meth. And he uses the scale to weigh his own marijuana.
Well, yeah, accurate. Know, of course.
Somebody's cheating or something. Yeah. And then the machete he keeps for protection.
Oh, obviously.
You know, you keep that, whatever. He faces several charges. Get a quick break in. Back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
You're waking up to The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson, part of Generation Blaze, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Relief Factor is a great product that was designed to be an anti-inflammatory because a lot of pain in the body actually comes from inflammation. If you're somebody that experiences pain, whether it's reoccurring pain from some activity you do, if you're a regular fitness buff or something, or if you've had other issues in your life where it's ongoing pain over years and you've been stuck with the pain or just trying to mask it with some sort of narcotic or something, why not try Relief Factor? It's worked for a bunch of people in the audience and a bunch of people here at the station. All you have to do is call Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. It's Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. It's worked for Brad Staggs for many years.
Because I'm old.
And then so you got a lot of pains there.
Parts hurt.
You can also go to relieffactor.com. It's worked for Cal.
I'm halfway old. And it.
You're more than halfway. Yeah. You're,
all right, I'm pretty close.
You're pretty close.
I'm,
you're
not, like, I'm not at your level.
No, but right, you're like 95%.
I'm getting there, though.
The hairline shows got, right there.
Lots of pain.
Call Relief Factor at 800-583-484 or go, it worked for Chris.
Who's not that old.
He can't even come in the studio. He's forgotten he's on the air. Or go to relieffactor.com. It's relieffactor.com and try it today. Continuing our Friday leftovers, now a 34-year-old man pleaded guilty to federal charges stemming from a long-running scheme to dupe women into having sex. Is that a crime? I mean, Chris Cruz has had the same long-running scheme,
kind of do that all the time?
Duping women,
well,
whatever.
This isn't about Chris Cruz?
No, apparently not. Mario Ambrose Antone pleaded guilty in U.S. District Court in Kansas City to one count of wire fraud. This is extensive.
Yeah.
He convinced women that he managed several overseas websites that feature such content. And he created some online aliases and promoted himself as a talent manager, sometimes a photographer or videographer.
Yeah, that's me.
That's right. You do claim to be those things.
I do claim.
And we've yet to see your abilities. He then, under the guise of auditioning women for jobs with his companies, he would convince them to engage in sexual activity or pornographic activity and film it. Women were first contacted via Facebook. So he'd just randomly be like, hey, what's going on?
This That's is the Nikki. Best mode to communicate with a woman.
And it worked.
Right. And then they're like, oh, great. And he's like, wow, you're attractive. You should be a model. And right. They're like, oh, thanks. And he's like, by the way, I know somebody who has a modeling agency. Uh-huh. Then he would get his other alias. And he'd be like, I got a modeling agency. Come down, meet me here. And then when they got there, it's like, oh, and we do some extra modeling. And that's how, and the women went along with it. Although this is wrong morally and obviously illegal, I feel like there's a little culpability on the women's part.
Yeah.
You know,
most women, I would think, if a guy's like, well, we can have this job for you. Let's just get naked and have some sex.
Yeah. Right. How dare you?
At some point, say,
wait a minute, how much can I make? Okay.
Just this one time.
Here's the thing.
One-time fee.
If Chris Cruz were to try this, he would be more interested in the money.
Here's the thing. What makes you think I have not tried this?
Oh, see, there you go. That's it. All right.
Yeah.
Out of Texas, police pulled over a car for going 45 into 35 and discovered an 11-year-old girl at the wheel with her 10-year-old brother in the passenger seat.
Well, at least he wasn't driving.
No, he was not. Right. You got to draw
officer,
the line.
I really got to be somewhere. What's the problem?
I got to drop his kid off. You know.
Let's go. Let's make this happen quickly.
So they pull her over. Okay, what's going on? So she gives them her mom's phone number. They call her mom. And the girl's mom said, yeah, she had my permission.
What else you need?
She's just going down the street to get some milk. All right.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. So cops got a little more information. Apparently the girl and the boy, brother, sister, were at the aunt's house. And the aunt was like, yeah, I really don't feel like driving you home. So she calls the kid's mom and is like, can I just drive home? The mom's like, yeah, sure. No problem.
That girl. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
The only problem is it's a problem because you can't drive at 11.
Super the government.
Wow. The distance between the homes, 2 to 3 miles.
Oh, That's not far.
Did she hit anything?
No.
All right.
11, you're
late to speed. I was driving at 13. Speeding.
Could she even see over the wheel?
Did she hit anything?
She didn't hit anything, Did it matter if she could see over the wheel?
Yeah, I would think it would matter.
I think this is a victimless crime.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm siding with the girl.
This is probably
the
big government right here.
And I'm only saying this because I want my kids to start driving as early as possible so I don't have to cater them around. That's what I'm going for.
Safe to say she wasn't in trouble when she got home.
No, that's right. That's one of the... that's a good
point. When you get pulled over...
It's going to be worse at home. No, this is...
How many times have I told you to drive over... Stay in the speed limit.
Right.
That's what you're in trouble for.
Yeah, you're right. That's just
going to be... You got caught. That's the problem.
Yeah, obey the traffic laws, except for the one that says you can't drive.
I got you this radar detector for a reason.
The mom was charged with child endangerment.
No.
Wrong. Well, wait a minute. Let's think about that.
I agree. That is child endangerment.
How?
Because she gave her permission.
You're putting an 11-year-old behind the wheel of a car.
No, she didn't put the 11-year-old back there.
Well, she told him to do it.
No, she gave permission.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing.
If I give you permission to go kill somebody, am I responsible?
Yes. If you are my guardian, yes, you are.
But I can't technically give you permission to go kill somebody.
Right. Well, can you give someone permission to break the law?
Right. No. So how in
Aren't you responsible for someone if you're their legal guardian? You're responsible for their actions.
So what is the base of the charge? That she didn't go pick her up or she gave her permission?
That she gave her permission to
She allowed get her to do something illegal?
Two-ton vehicle?
Well, when I said you had permission, I didn't. It was a moral test.
And is that really endangering a child?
Yes.
No. She didn't hit anything.
Right.
At that point.
It's 2 miles. 3 miles.
Cal, it's 2-3 miles, buddy. She didn't hit anything.
No other human being.
It's not like she's going to go the highway.
If I'm on the jury, I say we give the girl a driving test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if she passes it, she gets a driver's license.
Exactly. Yep. Right. Well, that's what. But I mean, then there's no child endangerment.
So you'd be okay. Let's say this was law. You'd be comfortable with 11-year-olds driving around you.
If they're responsible.
How can they're 11? How can they be responsible?
Look at it this way. If I give my kid the permission to go out and fire a gun. Right?
There's an age limit for that, too. You're going to let an 11-year-old fire a gun?
My point is, if they can fire responsibly, there's no problem.
But do 11-year-olds even know what responsibility is?
Some. I did. Obviously, you weren't responsible.
You at 11 knew how to take responsibility. Oh, because you've turned out to be the
Bart Simpson
ideal human being.
Come on, man. I was coming home by myself in first grade. I got it covered. Come on.
Unbelievable.
See, I think we're going to need to talk to the
generous.
We do.
Yeah.
We're going to need
more Zena.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
Of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
You are being called out in a big way on Twitter.
What
else is new? People are hammering you for your being anti-kid.
I'm not anti-kid. Anti-11-year-old. I'm just about responsible.
What are you, an ageist? Is that what's going on?
Well, not just that. I thought you were libertarian.
Mm-hmm. I am libertarian.
But that's not very libertarian talk of you.
Because I don't want my child to operate a two-ton vehicle.
Because you are supportive of government. you supporting what government wants.
No,
us.
I don't care about the government. I'm just talking
big
about
big rules, big government.
My
that's
kid,
what you want.
You know, I wouldn't feel comfortable putting so my kid right behind the wheel of a car.
That Zaina?
Yes, Zaina.
Zaina, in your mindset, she will not be responsible enough to drive at 11.
No, I doubt very much that.
Whose fault is that? Hers or yours?
Oh, snap. Oh, no, you didn't.
I'm not going to be putting her behind the wheel of a car at 11.
Whose fault is that?
Dana Mayer says in the NHRA they let kids race cars as young as 5.
In where?
The NHRA.
What's the NHRA?
National Hot Rod Association.
Well, I will not be attending.
At 6, they get to race against somebody.
Are we talking like
the death rate is 97%? Right, but you know they still let them do it. You know
why get lost in percentages?
That's right. Lori D, I beg to differ. At Cal 79, my 9-year-old knows how responsibly how to responsibly get some, and then has a picture of him shooting a gun.
I'm not opposed to having your child fire a gun,
but they can't operate a car.
You can you need to.
What is more dangerous, a gun or a vehicle?
They're both equally dangerous.
No.
But you're willing to let them do one, not the other.
No. With supervision, like if I'm in the car with
revisionist.
Her, if I'm in the car with her.
Waffle.
And she's next to me.
Progressive.
And she's learned. I probably would be okay with
stop
that.
Thinking
on
the
like
whole,
a road where there isn't anybody else.
This is an intervention.
But I'm not going to let
her go
on her own.
Little bitty shovel.
Little bitty shovel. Just dig.
It's like working with 6-year-olds, man. I swear to God.
Steve Sexton tweeting, dude, George Washington was surveying for the state of Virginia by age 11.
Have you talked
time to
congratulations to George Washington.
Here's the thing. Have you talked to David Barton about that 10-year-old that was a colonel?
That's right.
What's his name?
John Clem.
10-year-old colonel.
Hello, Cal.
He killed one of the top colonels for the other side, and he was...
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Short Round.
Yes.
Short Round drove a car.
Dr. Jones.
He wasn't even 11, was he?
Dr. Jones.
That wasn't a documentary.
Second, Indiana Jones. Movie. He drove it. He had to put the blocks on his feet, but he drove, Cal.
Yep.
And that was a major blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
Wow. This is on you, man.
Yeah.
Hey, joining
me.
Us now, Harvard physicist Dr. Michael Gillen. How are you, sir?
Join us. You guys keep talking. Hey, listen, I've got you all trumped. I've got a kid who just turned 18, and the first thing he wanted to do was to get a driver's license and start driving. So my wife and I are going through that, but, you know, it doesn't get any better at 18, let me tell you something. It gets a little scarier at 18, actually.
So, Doctor, we heard you were going to be on, and he has a new book out. It's a novel, author, The Null Prophecy. We were discussing, and Cal had a burning question he wanted to ask. He said, the number one thing I want to know from Harvard physicist.
Award-winning Emmy
is what, Cal?
Have you met Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Oh.
Now, the reason is...
The reason being is I really don't like Neil deGrasse Tyson. So I thought maybe in the physicist circle you might have come across him.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting, Cal? I actually knew Carl Sagan.
Now, that's
I don't
a
know how you feel about Carl, but when I was a grad student at Cornell... Carl was just kind of getting famous. He was going on the Johnny Carson show and all that sort of thing. He hosted that show called Cosmos.
That's right, yeah.
DeGrasse Tyson then kind of took over.
Mm-hmm.
And DeGrasse Tyson claims that he was kind of Carl's protege, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, I haven't met Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I attended I'm also a member of the Explorers Club, and he was speaking there years ago. He seems like a nice enough guy, but like too many scientists today, what's happened with these guys is they've allowed themselves to become very political. And so every time they open their mouth, you're not quite sure what you're hearing. Are you hearing science or are you hearing politics? I try to be old school. I try to, you know, just keep the politics out of it. I try to just speak truth, and just trying to protect science as kind of the last bastion of non-politicization, because everything else has become so political.
Hey,
everything, sports, everything.
You could learn a thing or two from Bill Nye. Let's just
Bill Nye, the science guy.
You know, the thing is, Doctor, I think most of us are even okay with scientists or other people expressing political opinions. That's fine. It's the rabid nature and the abrasive nature of it.
I feel like when Tyson talks, it's like if you don't believe what he says, you're an idiot.
Right. It's kind of an arrogance to it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah. There is. I have to say, a lot of my colleagues are that, and there's no question about it. And I agree with you too, Doc, that everybody should have the right to express a political opinion. You know, whether it's a pastor or a sports figure or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you're promoting yourself as a, for example, a scientist, like I am right now, speaking to you as a scientist. You know, I really feel I have an obligation to science.
Wow, that's nice.
To make it very clear when I'm pontificating politically versus when I'm trying to speak to you as a scientist. Because I think you and anybody else might want to know from me, well, what does science say about XYZ? You don't want to hear what my political opinions are. You don't want my political spin on the truth. You want to know, hey, what can I rely on? What can I hang my hat on? And that's in those moments when I'm being asked a question as a scientist, I really feel a deep obligation. And maybe I'm just really old school. I don't know. Maybe I'm being idealistic.
I think that's right. I think as long as you draw the distinction, mm-hmm. I mean, on the air here, we will give some facts, some news, and then we will pontificate. We'll give an opinion on stuff. But we try to distinguish, too. Everyone knows what our political biases are, too. But we'll say, okay, here's what happened, and then we comment. A lot of times I'll be like, I'm just speculating here, but maybe this. I think as long as you lay that out. But you're right. Scientists, we look to as facts, right? Scientists, they give us facts. So draw the distinction.
Right. And you should you deserve to expect that. And it's not even just science. I mean, I've been a TV reporter for most of my life. I was at ABC News for 14 years. You know, did Good Morning America, Nightline, 2020. I really tried hard not to give my opinion when I was on the air. Now, if somebody asked me, "Hey, what's your opinion of, say, genetic engineering or XY or you know, genetically modified foods or whatever?" I'd give my opinion, but again, it was typically a round table in the studio where I was specifically being asked by the host, what is your opinion, Dr. Michael Gillen, as an expert, as somebody familiar with this, what is your opinion? Okay, fine. Then at that point, I'm taking off, you know, I'm allowing myself to give an opinion, but I'm flagging it. So you know, okay, well, you know what, I agree with him. No, I don't agree with him. But when somebody says to me, hey, you know, what is the greatest discovery in science over the last 10 years or whatever? Well, that's not a good example because that would require an opinion. But, you know, if you ask me, hey, what is the acceleration of gravity on Earth? Hey, I say it's 32 feet.
That's simple. It's 2.
Yeah, everybody
it's
2. Knows that
it's
one.
The number 2, yeah.
By the way, the greatest science, Dippin' Dots. It's the ice cream of the future.
Tang.
By the way, Doctor.
I wish I had a piece of that, actually.
Yeah, exactly. By the way,
you know those fidget spinners? Fidget spinner. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? This guy is on the Riviera right now collecting money on that thing.
Especially as a physicist,
over here,
you're like,
theoretical physicist. Yeah. Right now.
It spins.
Novel, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, man.
By the way, Doctor, you're quickly going to be added to my list of people I really don't like because you're too successful. Harvard physicist, television reporter,
listen.
And now novelist.
Not just that. And then, I don't know if this is
I'm still that kid from East L.A. I was born in East L.A. on the wrong side of the track. And when I think I'm getting too big for my britches, I remember that, you know, I remember how I grew up and how hard my mom and dad worked. I mean, we were talking about family at the start of this segment. You know, my dad worked as a journeyman carpenter to support 3 kids, and my mom, you know, stayed at home when it was still, you know, noble to be a housewife.
Right.
And, you know, I love my family dearly. We had next to nothing, but I never thought myself as poor. So I never, whether I'm a novelist or Harvard or ABC News, those are all just things that the good Lord has allowed me to accomplish in life. I don't even almost take credit for it. I can't take credit for my success because I didn't do it by myself. I had people and the good Lord helping me along the way. And this is just a privilege. Talking to you guys this morning, I'm having a ball.
Awesome.
I wrote this novel. Yeah, I wrote this novel because I want to get across some messages, you know, about science and faith and how important it is for us to keep both eyes open, both reason and faith, if we're going to see life stereoscopically.
So
you know what I'm saying?
What is the basics of this novel then?
Well, you know, it starts right off on page 1 with scientists in Northeast Canada finding a small hole in the magnetic field of the Earth. And that's a big deal because it opens us up to all kinds of dangers from space. But what I love most about this novel are the two protagonists. One of them is Ali Armendariz, and she's, get this, a Harvard physicist turned television correspondent.
Whoa. I wonder where you got that inspiration.
Not creative, doctor.
Very creative there.
Well, you know, you're told to write what you know. Right, well, I know science and I know TV stuff. So she's great because I made her into a baby Christian. I wanted to see her struggle with her faith. I didn't want to write a little church lady, you know, who had it all together and, you know, was prim and proper. So she's struggling with faith, but she's also struggling with family. She's Hispanic, and so family is very important to her. But now that she's become this kind of big shot, She's wondering, you know, how do I keep connecting with my family who I love so much? So she's struggling with that. She's struggling with her personal life. She's got a secret that she's harboring because of something terrible that happened to her recently. And then my other protagonist, who I equally love, is a guy named Calder Sinclair. I would describe Calder as a kind of reclusive inventor. He's created a vehicle that he hopes will change the way we travel long distances forever. But he's not a happy guy. He's not a happy camper. He's a secularist who's very angry at God, and really for a lot of good reasons. He's had a rough childhood. His wife has died in a freak accident. Now his one and only kid, Sarah, has taken off to Darwin University to intern. And so he's really pinning his hopes on this vehicle. But what happens is as the danger snowballs, as the danger escalates, and I even have a G20 summit there, and again, I started writing this thing like 2 years ago, and my wife says, man, what about dumb luck? You know, I wrote a G20 summit that's convening in San Diego. Most of the action's in L.A. and San Diego, but it's all over the world. And there's a provocateur who's plotting to create this mass rioting. So anyway, as the danger snowballs, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on with subordinate characters, the question is, what's up with Ali and Calder? They're attracted to each other, but they have big differences. They see what's happening very differently. And so the question is, can they get their act together? Can they help save the day? And it all ends in this spectacular scene in the Middle East. And I'll tell you, it's a page-turner. You get your money for it. Hey, guys, I bore easily, okay? I go to bed at night. My wife reads like crazy, but I open my book, and I try to remind myself where I left off, and I start nodding off, and I if I make it through one chapter, I'm lucky. So I wrote a novel that's a page-turner, man.
Well, good deal. And, Doctor, what we'll do is we'll tweet out a link to it so people can check it out. It's called The Null Prophecy, and I appreciate the subject matter because that's where we're at right now. I don't think science and faith should be adversaries, and unfortunately people have made it that way. But what is your what are your social media handles? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? How should we find you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook at Michael Gillen, PhD, and then I think I'm Dr. At Twitter. I'm not so good at Twitter yet, but I do have a handle, as you say.
Okay, we'll find it.
I think it's at Dr. M. Gillen.
Well, okay, we'll look for it, and we'll tweet it out, and then we'll put it on Facebook as well. But it's great talking to you, Doctor. Appreciate it.
God bless you guys. It's been a ball.
You as well. Dr. Michael Gillen, author of The Null Prophecy, and we'll put the information out there. Quick break, back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. We'll be right back on the Blaze Radio Network. Good Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
What was that?
I wanted to ask the good physicist about asteroids, and you guys
why
just hogged the interview. Because you with
you
all your questions,
question.
And then you with
the
all
first
your
question.
Questions.
I gave you the first question.
You wasted it on Neil deGrasse. So.
Well, that just snowballed, and I really wanted to know about asteroids.
It's like working with my wife.
You are literally the most emotionally needy people I've ever met. Every commercial break.
And this is coming from the gay guy.
Literally, every commercial break, for audience who can't see this, right, is the three of you expressing what needs you did not fulfill, what needs were not
fulfilled. We're not fulfilled by others. Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Riaz Patel.
Hello.
You're back in the house. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yes.
How's the new baby?
Baby is good, too. Well, they're 51 weeks apart, so I've got two that are literally, I'm juggling, not literally, and it's chaos. It's chaos,
awesome.
But kind of lovely.
Well, we'd love to speak with Riez, but we wanted to have him specifically in because we've got a new idea we're working on that we're going to unveil at the bottom of the hour here that has to do with culture, and we'll get to that coming up. And we're going to Facebook Live that
we're
as well?
We're going to Facebook Live, facebook.com/TheBlaze.
Okay, we're going to get that done in just a second, but we got to tell you about Brickhouse Nutrition and their wonderful product, Dawn to Dusk. Dawn to Dusk is an extended-release energy supplement that helps you get that energy throughout the day, but the good news is it doesn't have any crash factor throughout the day.
Yeah, you know, my wife is pregnant with our second child, and I've got a three-year-old at home, and my mom is with us to help with them when the new baby arrives. So,
and it's still not enough.
The only way I make it through my day is with my Brickhouse Nutrition. You know, it extended release. I don't crash. It doesn't give me the jitters. It kind of keeps me throughout the day because I average like 3-4 hours sleep. So it doesn't work unless
I got
it.
And the good thing about this, I stopped drinking energy drinks, so that kind of cut my health a little bit higher because we have a challenge we have to do with Doc. With the other sponsor.
Yeah, we're going
to
be trying to lose weight coming up here in a minute.
So,
competition or whatever.
Oh.
So, yeah, so you don't
so
have to worry about
I cut
that
down
as well.
On my...
Because you don't have the extra sugar
the
and everything
sugar,
in it, which
all
is
the
really
calories,
nice.
All that stuff.
Dawn to Dusk, that extended-release energy supplement, lasts up to 10 hours, increases energy, improves mood, and stimulates your brain. All you have to do is go to BrickhouseDoc.com. That's BrickhouseDoc.com. If you remember the promo code DOC, you'll get 15% off your order. It's BrickhouseDoc.com. So what else been going on in your life before we get to our little segment? Anything fun?
I actually took a paternity leave. So for me, it was the strangest thing. For about 30 days, I was completely disconnected from the world. Did not look at news, did not look at radio, literally nothing.
You just shut it all off.
Just shut it all off. And I turned it on, and I'm like, oh, it's exactly where I was 30
days.
Yeah,
you haven't missed
much. It's like a soap opera. You watch after 7 years, you're like, she's still? Like, can't find her twin?
She's having sex with her brother?
Like, we're still bitching about that stuff and this.
Insane.
Nothing really new. A couple of new features. That's it. Yeah.
I had a son, and the not fun part is my father was sick and actually passed away within 27 days of my son arriving. And so it quiets everything. You know, when you hear all the noise, you're like, that is important. That is absolutely not important.
The priorities.
When you see life and death go literally side by side, it quiets everything. And the noise gets really quiet. And you think, this is what I want. This is what's interesting. This is what I'm willing to spend time on.
That's a really good point. And that's probably a good lesson throughout the day anyway.
Yes.
Because we get bogged down in all of the whatever, worried about our arguments, our differences, all of this stuff, instead of going, okay, maybe I should prioritize family and other things.
It's like an addiction. It's an addiction to conflict. Like, everyone needs to get up, look at their phone. What am I going to be angry about? Like, they're searching for something to outlet their rage.
Oh, and you know what we realized too? The internet, everything on the internet, I've got a new person, is seen when you see it as a challenge. So you can't read an article without going, oh, that's full of... That's raw. Yeah. Everything is, you see, you challenge. If it's a picture, Chris produces out a picture, I go, oh, I make better falafel than that. whatever it is. Well, you guys should have used
calendar. I was going to say falafel.
Sorry, I make better plantains than that.
There we go.
I had plantain chips last night, just so you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Where are they?
I ate them all. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that everything's seen as a challenge when it comes to that.
It is, including the plantain.
The plantain chips, exactly. Okay, we're going to get to the food coming up.
Yes.
Because
it smells really bad.
We have a basic concept here that you can bring people together over food.
How do you have these conversations about getting to know each other in this hyper, hyper, hyper critical world where if you say something wrong, literally the whole room could explode.
Racist!
Yeah,
sexist!
There you go. So
homophobic!
So what is a way... Thank you, Chris. Anything else you'd like to get out of...
He just likes to yell things.
I know.
It's like, kind of like Tourette's.
Has it been treated?
He hasn't taken his pills today.
Yeah.
It's injections and pills.
Right. We'll get to more of that coming up. Get a quick break in here. We'll tell you our theory. And then we're going to ask you to be involved as well. Maybe you could try this at home or with your coworkers or people in your neighborhood or whatever. Try to bring people together over food. And the nice thing about it is you get food.
Yes, and it's edible.
It is edible.
Food that is edible.
Most of it
Amazing.
Is going to be edible. Back in a minute with more.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Well, I hope in the future Riaz's name is well enough known on the program where I don't have to label him, but at this point you still got to be labeled.
Oh.
We first became...
He's not a millennial, so he's okay.
Oh, he's okay.
He likes labels.
Not so sure, but...
I do not like you labels, know? For the record. Just to put it clearly, my spokesperson, Chris, no, not so much.
So, Riaz, we first became aware of him when he wrote a wonderful op-ed piece about the election and how divided we were, and it was wonderfully written. He is very different from us. You are liberal on most of your views. He happens to be gay, Muslim, Pakistani, and an immigrant.
Yes.
I get them all?
I get them all, yep.
Okay.
And a father.
And a father, yeah. Right, exactly. So very different than a lot of us in this room, and we've been talking for a while about how food brings people together, and you can understand culture better over food, because at one time, you know, look at Italians in America. They were hated. They were thought of as, you know, all kinds of lazy and whatever. And then people are like, this spaghetti is so good.
Please, let us accept them.
Please accept them. You're okay. Italians or Irish, your food still sucks. It's going to be a little while longer.
It's, I mean, to me, it's like you have people who could learn so much from each other, who could actually enjoy each other's company, who work in cubicles next to each other, but can't figure out how do I start the conversation.
Okay.
So I came here to ask you to bite my culture.
I'm sorry?
Whoa. I came here to ask you to all to bite my culture.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
And in what is known as a bite fight.
A bite fight. Nicely done. But was it a guy emailed you and talked about asking Muslims?
Yes. So a guy emailed me.
This is really interesting.
From the factory floor of the in Ohio. I don't want to get in trouble. And he said, I'm very concerned about Islam, but I know, you know, it's nothing terrible to be afraid of, but my views are off. But I don't know who to ask. And he went up to someone on the factory floor who was Muslim and asked, like, can I ask you questions? And he got written up. Now, I asked him, how did you approach him? And he was like, I was pretty angry.
Hey, so I'm
like,
there you go. I have some questions.
So the approach is everything. But to me, it's like, how do we get people to not be afraid of what they don't know is to know, to actually get to know what they think they're afraid of. And so to me, it's like, how do you begin it? You begin it with a game, and a game about food.
All right. What's the game?
So
the game and try this at home, at work, your neighborhood or whatever. And we're going to try it in the future as well with various people throughout the next coming months.
So it's called Bite My Culture. And the idea is we have an assignment. The assignment today was bring what you would find at a five-year-old's birthday party.
Right.
And so growing up, so something you would find. So this is ideally
from
your
culture.
From our culture.
From our culture.
Yeah. So it's an opening a door of a conversation. And the idea is like you get to try something that you never normally try. And everyone likes to eat.
Okay.
So we present it. Here's the assignment. We explain it. And then there's a score of 1 to 10, 3 categories, taste, presentation, and how far you got pushed outside your comfort zone.
Okay, and we'll keep scoring. And everybody here will keep a score.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, this was short notice, admittedly. Last night, this was all, you know, in the future, we'll have a little more time or whatever. I was thinking from my era when I was a child, and let's be honest, most of you have probably had most of the stuff that served at a five-year-old party as far as, you know, average white people from rural Ohio. It's pretty much going to be pizza right now. I mean, you've all had pizza, I'm assuming, right?
That's not white.
No, Italian.
But
What do you want me to go back to my...
Yes. I thought we were doing a cultural thing.
This is culture. That's what I'm saying. You have cultural ties to Egypt.
I believe you're attacking his sense of culture.
Right, exactly
right
what I'm
now.
Saying. My
Whoa.
Cultural ties, I have no cultural ties other than to rural Ohio.
So what would you eat at a five-year-old's birthday party in rural Ohio?
Okay, back in the day, it would probably be, aside from cake, if you were having food, it would be a lot of things. But one of the things back in the day when I grew up, you'd have deviled eggs.
Why did they get the name deviled eggs? I don't understand. What is so evil about them?
I don't know.
I'm looking at them and they seem perfectly harmless. They're sitting
Sometimes
there on a
plate. Sometimes they repeat. So
they're
maybe
actually
that's
quite
it.
Delicious. I've had
maybe
deviled
that's what
eggs.
All right. That's what I'm saying. But maybe you haven't. So I tried to do something a little bit different that was a little, you know, less known.
Thank you for not bringing pizza.
Hand it over.
Have you had deviled eggs before?
I actually have only tried it once. What is on top?
That's a little paprika.
Oh.
Yeah, so,
and this is basically deviled eggs is relish, egg yolk, and mayonnaise?
I can't tell you everything that's in it.
Okay.
Mine are
special. It's a
family
secret.
That's right. I make pretty good deviled eggs.
That's relish in an egg?
There's a little pickle relish in there, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who thought of that?
That's very good.
Putting relish in an egg.
By white lady. People.
Mm-hmm.
This game is going horribly if all we do is just assault white people in the game. I mean,
no, we're cool with that. We're cool. I've accepted it.
He's cool. He's the man.
By the way, by the way, there's definitely mayonnaise in here because
white
people like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how I feel about the pickle in the egg, I'll be honest.
A little bit. I don't love the pickle in there, but it's standard.
Okay, I'm going next. This is what's known as a gulab jamun, which is essentially gulab jamun. What happened?
Chris has been looking for that for weeks out in the dating circus.
Are you still looking for something in the dating circus?
He's like, I've been looking for a gulab jamun.
He's looking for love in all the wrong places.
I'm dating a
Obviously, he's not
now.
Looking in the gulab jamun.
No, you're not.
We'll talk about that after.
Let's not talk about it later, actually. Okay, here we go. So gulab jamun. So this is actually something. It's incredibly sweet. The thing is, it's got rose water, cardamom, and honey. And this is so sweet. But the thing is, it's served in this like sugary syrup. The thing is, I used to love to drink the syrup. So it's basically me drinking the equivalent of like maple syrup, like a gallon of maple syrup.
Do I need my shots for this?
I don't think so. Do you, are you a diabetic?
Mm-hmm. That's delicious.
No.
See? Well, I mean, you probably
I'm kind of
biased. Have you had before?
Yes.
And I've never had that. That's
it's similar
really good.
To a dessert in Middle Eastern culture
breaded.
As well.
It's deep fried. How could you do that?
It looks like he's going to throw up.
Are those deep fried, though? Or
they are deep fried.
He's spitting it out. You can't spit it out.
You can't.
No, you can't.
You don't have to.
You have to.
How could you not like that?
You have to enjoy it.
You have rage today.
He does. He does. No. Okay. So this is.
I do
almost,
like the syrup.
This is almost like a donut hole.
Yeah,
like
it is a donut hole. Then, yes.
But much softer.
Right, like softer, and then it's soaked in like a
honey,
water, honey
rose water.
Or whatever,
there was something in the middle I did not like.
It was just soft
that's
dough.
That's the donut.
It's probably soft dough. It's probably the sweetness, Chris. Honestly.
Maybe.
All right, next.
Wow, that is so insulting.
Are we scoring? What are we supposed to be scoring?
We will score.
Oh, we will score. Okay.
Each game
we
score, right?
Yeah, yeah, one.
So we scored the...
taste, presentation, and then how far inside your comfort zone you went.
All right, so the deviled eggs.
I gave you a note.
Yeah, you gave me a note. You didn't give me a pen.
Taste, presentation.
And then how far outside the comfort zone. Okay.
Very far.
Okay.
And is it on a 1 to...
1 to 5.
Okay, 1 to 5? Okay.
1 to 5. Okay, and then next. Okay, what's next?
Are we scoring ourselves too?
Taste,
scoring
presentation.
No, you can't score yourself.
Good deal.
Okay, taste, presentation, and outside comfort zone. Got it. Okay, next. What do we got?
Oh, me. My turn.
Okay, what did you bring?
I brought donuts.
And this is why I feel
okay,
like.
Okay, this is.
Yeah.
See what
yeah.
I mean? Like, you know, you give a guy an assignment and he just kind of half-asses it.
He said he was bringing plantains last
night. That's what he said. Because last time I checked, donuts aren't in Puerto Rican culture.
Was this the only thing open at 5:30 when you drove in?
Yes. So here's the thing. You said something from my culture will
mm-hmm.
do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will bring. So my culture is lazy. So I was like, oh, my God. And I forgot to bring the plantains. And I didn't want to leave the house when I told them to I was going to bring plantains. So I was like, there's a donut shop right across the street from the studios. So
I'm writing zero on your score
zero.
Right now as you talk.
Zero,
that's
zero,
I have a donut,
zero.
But
that's very racist of y'all.
Zero.
You said my culture's lazy. What do you mean that's racist?
My culture
you're lazy.
Is lazy. It's okay for
no,
me to say
no, you specifically.
It.
I think you're hiding behind your culture. I think you're just lazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't bring down the entire race.
So when he brought these in this morning, I looked and I was like, I had no idea fritters were from Puerto Rico. I'm the idiot here. And then I see he has glazed donuts and I was like, wow, they must be like really glazed donuts. I didn't know that was from there. He told me last night plantains.
I did. Mm-hmm. I know.
To be fair, when I saw you last night, you're like, I don't know if I'll bring something. It might be that the white person doesn't bring anything.
Right.
And I'm like, seriously?
It's difficult.
It's dark.
Well, I feel most of you have probably experienced most white culture.
But disqualified.
Unbelievable.
I got disqualified.
A little more time, and I'll do some
right.
some different things from...
From your all right.
Which you know a little bit of it because you grew up partially in West Virginia.
When I first came to America, we lived right. in West Virginia for a year.
Interesting. By the way, anyone with deviled eggs or stuff here, we get the interns in today.
Oh, yes, there is guys. Actually extra food.
All right. What were those categories again? Taste?
Taste, presentation, and how far outside your comfort zone.
So just three?
Just three.
Okay, and yeah. obviously, the higher the number, the more uncomfortable.
The more winner, the better.
The
more,
winner.
No, like in the comfort zone, I'm uncomfortable at 5 and very comfortable
means like
at 1.
Something you've not tried before. So it's like, oh, wow, I've never eaten that bug. That's a 5.
Okay.
Oh, we're having bugs?
Well, you get a 5 if you did.
Okay, here we go. What do we got next?
Okay,
Calster.
Cal.
I brought two things here, hummus and tabbouleh.
Okay.
Huh?
Are you gonna,
whoa.
Hold on. You can call him on the way he said
talking on my
too.
Culture.
No, I know. But
are you
went,
really going to give me crap about pronouncing
that,
my, that's how you say
it's
it.
That's how
hummus.
You say
all right,
it.
I'm sorry.
It's
let me make
hummus.
It more white.
Hummus. And some hummus and tabbouleh.
Oh, my God.
Tabbouleh.
Awesome.
So
I love
and
it.
And smells like
it
so
gets
garlic.
In my teeth.
It's like in your nostrils, and like it's cleared up my sinuses.
Okay, what is it again? Teach me.
Okay.
Hummus. Hummus.
Hummus. Okay.
Hummus. It's from back here. Hummus.
Hummus.
Okay. It's basically ground up chickpeas with a little bit of sesame paste, olive oil, a little garlic, lemon, and like some paprika. That's just eat it. I'm not even gonna tell you. Just eat it.
Is that pepper?
And what you're supposed to do is the pita comes with it. I tried to warm it up.
Use
it's still
your
not
hand. You don't
warm.
Use pork,
do not
right?
touch it.
This one. I was just touching the back of my hand, making sure it's warm. It wasn't as warm. So
did you use your right hand?
No, yeah. I used my left hand.
Oh, okay. Well,
so don't worry about it.
You know, right hand, left hand.
Yeah,
everybody knows.
And you take the pita and you dip it into the hummus.
Show me how you do.
Yeah, show me.
Show me how you do. Want to see your technique?
Just grab some of it.
I know we're trying to see. But see, he did a pinching move.
There was a pinching move.
That's why I want to know. There's this because like some like other cultures, you actually grab with the bread.
I will say the pinch is key because otherwise you end up with hummus on your fingers.
You don't want too much hummus. You want to have an equal.
Where did you get this hummus?
I made this hummus.
Did you make this?
Yeah.
No.
I did.
No.
I did.
Uh-uh.
Last night at 10 o'clock, you made hummus.
It wasn't 10 o'clock. You texted a little bit before that.
That's what I'm saying. It was like 3 p.m. Okay, good. All right.
I took the assignment serious.
Thank you.
And then this is tabbouleh.
That's pretty good hummus.
Hey, don't touch my booty.
That's pretty good hummus.
And tabbouleh.
Bulgur. Okay. It's bulgur. You know what bulgur is? It's a grain. With some parsley, tomato, also garlic, lemon, olive oil. Try it. It's a grain. It's kind of like quinoa, but not exactly. But.
Did you make the tabbouleh, too?
Yes.
Seriously?
Lies. Don't believe
it. The tabbouleh. Nicely done, sir.
Oh, what? You didn't like the hummus?
No, I like the hummus, too. I just told you the hummus was good.
I didn't hear you. I was trying
to I recommend when people play this.
When it comes to my food, I am a girl.
Okay, I recommend they don't play with cow.
I cook. I take it serious. Very serious.
See, really? I think that's awesome.
Oh, no.
That I cook?
That you cook.
Yeah. I'm,
did your wife cook?
My wife can't cook. For.
How about your husband? Does he cook?
He does. And I do, too.
It's all British food?
There's no British food. I don't know what British food is.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips, no.
He's British, isn't he?
But British food, like, they commandeered Pakistani, like, they commandeered curry.
You know why?
Because it has taste?
Exactly. Yeah. British food and Irish food. The Western and European, not so good or whatever, generally speaking. Okay. There we go. Taste, presentation, and outside your comfort zone.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have...
What is this?
Pita.
There's different kind of pitas here.
Okay, you didn't explain that.
Oh, I didn't know there was that.
Yeah. It's just, some is a little thinner. Oh, like, this is like a thinner pita. This is a bit of a...
That's what I'm saying.
They're all pita, though. They taste the same, pretty much. One's a bit thicker, one's a little thinner.
Like paper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bit thinner one. Some people like that. It's, I tried to warm it up, but... Paper. Okay.
All right. So, scores. So, I would say... we all agree that I think Chris probably doesn't get
into the positive numbers.
I think so.
I gave him zeros all across
the board.
I don't have a problem with the fritters. It's just it's not really
incomplete.
It's the attitude, I'm feeling.
It's all about effort, you know?
so
he's doing really well eating everything, though. Mm-hmm. He's doing really good there.
Can I combine cultures?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Look at that. He's bringing the world together.
Okay, you going to go with the fritter with that?
Yeah.
Wait, but then you have to put some of my syrup on.
Other. Well, give me a
second. Okay.
Okay, let's get a break. We'll come back with the story, scoring, and we'll wrap things up on The Morning Blaze.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Got to tell you about Relief Factor, a product designed to help deal with inflammation in your body. Inflammation is what causes pain quite often, and a lot of people are trying to mask the pain as opposed to get rid of it. A lot of people in our audience have tried a Relief Factor. A lot of us here in the studio have, and guess what? They've gotten rid of their pain with Relief Factor. Try it today. All you have to do is call 800-500-8384. It's 800-500-8384. Or go to ReliefFactor.com. Get that quick start pack for just $19.95. Just $19.95. And you may be pain-free. Usually takes 7 to 10 days or so to see results for me and my sciatic. It was about 4 or 5 days. It varies, but usually 7 to 10 days. Start as soon as you can. Call now, 800-500-8384, or go to ReliefFactor.com. It's ReliefFactor.com. All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned first of all, we have to get a rating here. Who won? I think it's Cal.
Cal won.
I will humbly accept this honor.
It felt humble.
You know, that means you gotta make
Step
for the
up.
Crew now. Yeah. For everybody.
Winner makes it for the whole
every
crew.
Day?
Yeah.
No, just for the whole crew.
For the whole building.
Oh, great.
I didn't like it that much.
All right,
I liked my booty part.
What is it? Hashtag bite my culture.
Bite my culture.
And then we'll do this in the future. You want more details, we'll have them for you. Try it at home. Try it at your friends and neighbors or whatever. And I think it's a lot of
Change
fun.
Change up the assignment. Something you take to lunch.
Can we get some people that actually participate and bring the food from their culture?
We'll definitely do that. Although you did diss his culture at lunch one day, so I understand he's a little shy.
How do you get his culture?
Enough lies. All right, we learned that the Women's March, Inc. is neither women or a march.
Nope, not at all.
We learned pro criminal tip number 3612, never take a sword to a broom handle fight. And leg casts can be used as a storage device.
Yes.
Cal, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned I'm surrounded by maniacs who will let preteens drive.
No.
Something's wrong with you people. I learned that Chris shirked new responsibilities by saying no to the boss man joining the Cubs quality.
No, I never said no.
He bitches every week that he's not on it. Now he wants
never
to get it.
Never bitched about it.
And finally, I learned I'm obviously the best. cook in the room.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Let me see. That's a little smack.
What do you bring
talk.
To guacamole? Humility.
Where's the guacamole? Riaz Patel, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I just learned that Cal takes his hummus very seriously.
It's from back all here. Snap. It's the hummus from back here.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, the listeners learned today?
Libertarian also learning food porn on TMB. International edition. Oh, I'm sorry. Interracial edition.
Oh, interracial international edition.
Deadpool also learned while entering tabbouleh is awesome. There's some Middle Eastern grocery store in Houston that sells it.
I got to be honest. Cal's tabbouleh may be the best tabbouleh I've ever had.
It's actually quite good.
I can't think of anything.
I just like it sounds like booty.
And we just had tabbouleh together last week, so.
Don't tell people.
Oh, sorry. We've been tabbouleh-ing together.
CMB and the Bacon Diet tweeting out, a real Chris Cruz, a spitter.
All right. I just realized we got caught up in the food, and I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination. We'll do a Monday. What else do we have coming up Monday?
We're not going to talk just fake news, but fake science.
All right. What does Glenn Beck have coming up on his program?
It's Friday, which means Bill O'Reilly's joining the show.
What is Glenn wearing today?
Paisley. Head to toe, paisley.
And it's not the same paisley. That's a clash. All right. Remember the Morning Blaze of today, a Chris Cruz production. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon.
Wherever you are.
Now, you go home.
I'm not here on Monday, okay, guys? I'm not here.
Again, shirking responsibility.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.